Julian Assange has once again sparked a furious international debate about whether he is a journalist and whether the Trump administration's attempt to extradite him to the US amounts to a threat to investigative journalism everywhere, as some claim. After Ecuador revoked his citizenship and allowed UK police into its embassy in London to remove the WikiLeaks founder, he's been charged initially with skipping bail in the UK. He'll be back in court next month on that. But the core issue is the US indictment against him, unsealed in the past day, which reveals a grand jury last year charged him with conspiracy to commit computer intrusion. It relates to the help he gave to then US Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to obtain hundreds of thousands of incriminating US war logs and diplomatic cables. Greg Barnes is Julian Assange's Australian lawyer. I asked him first whether he agrees with the view that the US wants to charge his client with simple hacking.
Well, I don't think it is a hacking charge. I think I've dressed it up as a hacking charge, but it's a direct attack on the right of a journalist to assist a whistleblower in ensuring the publication of information, which is clearly in the public interest. In this particular case, the reality of what was happening in Afghanistan and Iraq. And, of course, that included a video showing a US Apache helicopter shooting a Reuters photographer and another Reuters employee or contractor and a number of other people. And it also showed the number of civilian deaths, which were much higher than those that had been proclaimed by the United States. So it's deeply troubling that this sort of charge should be used in this way.
Nonetheless, some are saying that this charge avoids free speech complications under the US Constitution because it doesn't charge Assange with publishing or doing journalism as such. Do you accept that interpretation?
Look, I have seen that interpretation, and one would imagine that US prosecutors were careful to try and avoid any possible defence. That's generally what prosecutors do. It may end up, of course, that the First Amendment issues, the freedom of speech protection under the US Constitution, is raised in this particular case. It might also be, and one suspects that it is the case, that there may be other charges that relate to this particular matter. As I understand it, charges under espionage legislation, for example, are exempt from the freedom of speech defence. And so we'll wait and see. But at the moment, the charge that in respect of which the United States is seeking to indict Julian Assange is a charge which only has a 5-year maximum penalty. And it's hard to imagine that a grand jury sitting for 9 years and furthermore that the millions of dollars spent on the investigation would result simply in one charge.
You mentioned the grand jury, but it's the case also that the Obama-era Justice Department looked at this for a long time and chose not to try to prosecute Assange, essentially gave up. I mean, why was that, and why has this now gained new life under the Trump administration?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. There was no love for Julian Assange in the Obama administration, and Hillary Clinton was particularly vicious in relation to Assange. I'd say, though, that a different view has been taken by the Trump administration and potentially a new angle sought. There's no doubt that there's been some blood-curdling rhetoric from people like Mike Pompeo and the Vice President Pence in relation to this matter, that they decided to have a crack at it. The real issue, I think, is how long he'll be in detention, because the extradition itself, that process, I think, will take some months, because if he's unsuccessful at first instance, there'll be an appeal in the English courts. It'll go up the line potentially to the UK Supreme Court, which is equivalent to our High Court, which means he would be in detention for many, many months.
Will the UK agree to extradite Assange?
Well, the UK courts, on my reading, have taken a view about the current extradition treaty with the United States, which was formed and signed just after 9/11 in 2003, and which allows the United States to extradite people from the UK without having to show that there's a prima facie case up against a person. It's simply enough that they've been charged. And the UK courts have been rather rightly somewhat hesitant about exercising that power. Having said that, the rhetoric yesterday of Jeremy Hunt, the Foreign Secretary, of other colleagues, and Theresa May, the Prime Minister, was most unfortunate. It looked as though they were seeking to pressure the courts into granting quick extradition. And, of course, it's fundamentally important that the extradition be allowed to take place within the courts. That's not stopping, of course, diplomatic solutions which can be found and which can always run in parallel with court processes in extradition proceedings.
Are they likely, do you think, those sorts of diplomatic pressures?
Certainly if Jeremy Corbyn were Prime Minister, and who knows what's going to happen in the UK, that certainly would be the case, as we know. I think it is very important that the current Prime Minister in this country, Scott Morrison, and Bill Shorten understand that what's at stake here. It's not simply a common garden variety extradition. The United States is seeking to extradite a person who has simply expressed themselves, if one can put it that way, in accordance with a core liberal value, which of course is freedom of speech. And Australian journalists and Australians generally, I think, should be very, very concerned about the chilling impact of this precedent. And the Australian government, therefore, and Australian politicians ought to be concerned about it.
And just finally, Sweden is also again interested in extraditing Assange to their country over the one remaining sexual assault allegation there that will remain live until 2020, I think. How likely is it that they would get their hands on him, particularly given the US is putting in a bid at the same time?
Well, it's an unusual circumstance. I'm not sure what we make yet of what's happening with Sweden, other than we've seen this aired, and I think it's been aired by a lawyer acting for one of the women who was involved in that matter. But of course, if there are extradition requests from two nations, and that is a rare occurrence, but it does happen, it's generally the case that the extradition request that has been filed first would be dealt with first by the courts, and then the second extradition request would be dealt with after that. So in other words, you could have a situation, theoretically, where a person is extradited to the United States, dealt with by the United States, serves a sentence, and then at the end of that sentence is then extradited to another country. That does happen, really, and if Sweden were to seek extradition and were granted its request, that's what would happen in this case.
Greg Barnes, thank you for speaking with PM.
Thank you very much.
Greg Barnes is a Tasmanian barrister and Julian Assange's Australian lawyer.